Welcome to, well, that fucked me up.
It really did.
A podcast with Luke Coulson.
And Kyle Wise.
And each week we're going to be talking to real guests about their amazing, often traumatic, life-changing events.
Focusing on stories of survival, hope, and overall triumph.
Which is flipping awesome.
Yeah.
Because we're all about that. We're all about listening to people's stories about adversity and trauma and crazy stuff. I think there really is something for everybody. There's many, many topics, many, many guests, people that really have got through some extraordinary things. Please share the love, share the show, get in touch, follow us, subscribe, click. We're trying to make it easy and open for people to discuss things that may normally feel tricky to do so. We've been on an extraordinary journey and we're glad you can join us. Enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Well, That Fucked Me Up. I'm one of your hosts, Luke Coulson, and today we're joined by Stephanie, or Steph, let's say. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you. Very well, thanks. How's yourself?
Great, thanks. And I'm English and I'm calling you from LA, and you're Australian. Whereabouts in Australia are you from?
I'm originally from Sydney, but I'm currently in Karratha, which is on the complete other side of Australia at the moment.
Whoa, I've never even heard of that place.
Yeah, it's quite north, so we're sort of like, it feels like we're in the desert, but we're also on the coast, so it's really cool. It's quite a big mining area.
Oh, wow. And you guys are going into summer right now, because we're going into winter over here.
That's right. Yeah, we're going into summer. We get quite hot here where we are.
Wow. I have this dream of just following the sun around the world one day, you know. But I mean, I live in LA now and I still complain that it's cold in the winters. So I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. So
we always want what we can't have.
Correct. Let's see. So obviously our podcast is all about life-changing events and experiences, and some of our guests have had kind of very impactful, like, one-off events that have happened to them. And many of our guests have had slow burning experiences. Many have come to a crossroads or a cliff's edge, as sometimes they say, and things have needed to happen to make a change in their lives. Sometimes it's a choice, sometimes it's forced. Where do you fit into all of this, Steph?
I suppose it's probably a culmination of things. And then really getting to a point where there's sort of like a crux of everything, just building and building and building, getting to that point where it was just like, oh, my God, something really just like needs to change here, because this is like, I look into my future and I'm like, oh, my God, like I cannot see anything getting better from here. I need to do something.
So tell us about that. What was it like? How did it get to that point?
So basically everything was sort of, I suppose when you're born up until a point, especially with girls sort of get to a point where by the time they're 8, most of them have lost, well, 80% of them have lost their self-confidence.
Wow.
And I fit into that. And so before that, I didn't even realize other people or whatever, what anyone ever thought of me. I was just doing my own thing, didn't think about other people's perceptions. So we lived in Sydney. My mum and dad split up when I was about 7, and then mum drove us around Australia with, you know, 4 kids by herself. And I was just like this free-spirited kid, just doing my own thing. I was sort of a tomboy. And then we moved to northern New South Wales near the border and started a new school. And we lived with mum and, you know, they were going through a divorce and we were just in a new place. And my first day of school, I realized that, oh, my gosh, like, people have a perception of me and there's things people expect of me.
So what age were you at that point?
I was 8. I just turned 8.
Gosh. Well, that's a crazy realization to have, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember, like, there was this girl that befriended me quite early on and she, you know, kept tapping me on the shoulder. Like, you know, I was singing to myself and I was just, you know, just doing my own thing, and she was just like, you're singing to yourself. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she'd do it again. Oh, you're doing it again. And I was just like, okay, obviously this must be not a normal thing. And then I started realizing how much, you know, you had to do certain things and be a certain way.
Yeah.
And I just, it was like the glass shattering moment where I was just like, oh my gosh, like I have to be something. Oh. I have to be a different way here. Like, and I was sort of like a tomboy. So I liked doing, you know, playing in the dirt and climbing trees and all of these things. And I could see a clear, it was in year three, it was like girls did girl things and boys did boy things. Mm. And you're weird if you merge that line. Like,
wow. Yeah.
Something's up here, you know?
That's crazy to have that. I have two boys, they're 11 and 8, and it's funny you were saying that because my 8-year-old will hum and sing and my 11-year-old will be like, shut up, you know, and I feel terrible for the 8-year-old because he's in a wonderful place. He's just in his little dreamland and I feel terrible. I guess it takes me back to my childhood. I was a younger brother. And I get very protective, and I say to the older one, like, let him be. And then, but to my older one's point, it's kind of like, well, I will let him be, but not if it's ruining my day.
It's ruining my life.
And I'm like, well, you have a good point in a way, you know. But that's a terrible realization to have, especially if you're a kind of a tomboy as well, and that you're realizing you're having to conform to be a certain way at that age. Yeah. That's a terrifying thing.
Yeah. And I just, I think I took it the wrong way as opposed, like, I just, cause I was, you know, quite a sensitive person. You know, I was like, well, something's wrong with me. I don't fit in, you know? And I took that through my whole life. From that point, I basically just did everything I thought everyone expected me to do. Wow. But I'd sort of been put in a box. So it's like what other people labelled me as. It's like, you're sensitive, you're a tomboy, you're, you know, whatever it might have been. And I just, like, kept myself in the box. So I couldn't break out of that. And I sort of tried to as I grew up. I think when I was in year six, we had a year six farewell and all the girls, you know, dressed up in dresses and things like that. And I remember thinking that, like, how do I, you know, it was a big deal if I just went and did that because everyone would be like, oh, I'll make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, I ended up buying, like, you know, at that time there was like the sort of leather type pants and the top with the flames on it. So it was like a bit of a break in, but not, I just felt like I couldn't go and do that because people expected me to be this certain way. So I couldn't break out of it.
Wow.
And then it was just like that in my relationships and everything like that as well. I just did what I thought everyone wanted me to do, said the things I thought everyone wanted me to say. I didn't really have my own values. It was just like, if I'm in this situation with these people, I'll support and pretend I like what they like and do the same thing in every single relationship and situation in my entire life.
Why do you think that happens? Like, what? Because I'm sure I'm sure lots of people have gone through what you've gone through and not realised that pivotal effect it had on them, and probably when they hear this episode will be like, fuck, you know. And I also know I've spoken to people who have had, you know, drink problems or like eating disorders off the back of like one comment that someone's made to them that has just brought them back down to earth with a crash or made them hate the way they feel or hate the way they look. And it sounds to me like it wasn't just that one. Was it just that one moment when that girl was saying, why are you singing out loud? Or was it to do with your parents being divorced and being left with your mum? Or I mean, you might not have all the answers to this, but what do you think it was that made you so fucking terrified all of a sudden to be different or to have to conform?
Yeah, I only realised this a couple of years ago, and it's a fantastic question. I think basically what it is was the feeling of being abandoned. I didn't want to be left alone, so I need to do things that people like, so I'm accepted because not people like will like me. Because if people didn't like me, that was the worst thing, because then they would not accept me, they would leave me, I would be alone, and I'd be abandoned, I'd be by myself.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. And also, I'm very familiar with abandonment issues, so that's good. You know, it makes good sense. So tell me about what happened. Sort of, you mentioned from, I'm assuming, through your teens into kind of relationships that played out in a similar way, whereby you were a person that wasn't you. You were just being a person that you thought other people wanted you to be.
That's right. Yeah. And I had a lot of bullying growing up as well on top of all of that. So it just made me realize it wasn't sort of safe to be myself. It wasn't okay to be myself. And then, yeah, so that I just didn't really have any self-value or self-confidence or self-worth. I got into a really bad relationship when I was in year 10. And that was just, if any self-confidence or self-worth I thought I may have still had then at that point was just completely shattered. And it was, yeah, it was a very abusive relationship, and it was one of those ones where you sort of just chipped away at and made to feel alone and that you're not worth anything.
So playing off your weaknesses so that you wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, and you couldn't tell anyone, and I was in that relationship for actually a couple of years, and no one knew how bad it was, and it was just. It was just terrible. I sort of reached a point. I remember one day, I think my dad could see, and I had a bad relationship with my dad anyway at that point, but he even hated him. And I was just like, I didn't even like him. I was pressured into the relationship. I didn't even like this person, but he made me feel trapped, like I couldn't escape. I remember him just saying to me that he would get his family to like come and get me if I ever left him. And he would threaten suicide and all of these things and stuff like that. So it was like, put all of that on me, that this was my responsibility to be here, and this is what I needed to do. And
isn't that the crazy thing is that that person would have had all sorts of issues himself, right? And not defending anyone's behavior. But where, as we get older, we realize that people behave in a certain way because they have been damaged or hurt, or someone's behaved in that way towards them. If I knew the things I know now back then, God only knows how different. I mean, I wouldn't have liked it to have ended up any different, because I'm pretty happy where I am right now. The journey's been interesting along the way. But when you look back on how he treated you, and also when you look back on just the things that you were saying about you didn't feel like you could be yourself, there was no sense of empowerment given to you, was there, at all? And
absolutely not.
If you could go back and just tell yourself that at that age, that it's all right and you can be who you want to be. And obviously we're living in a very fast evolving world right now, where it's all about inclusivity and it's all about empowerment and it's all about everybody. I'm trying to tell my 11-year-old it's about inclusivity and compassion and love and support and optimism and hope and compliments. Those things just have such that those tiny little comments can chip away at someone at such an early age, and that person will struggle for and I'm speaking from experience, for decades because of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is so true. And, you know, that person that says those things might look back and even know or have any idea, but at the right stage, at the right time, at the right moment, one thing can make such a big difference, you know, and just suck all the confidence and, you know, all of that. It is a bit different when it's family, because it's, you know, you can get away with those things because you are
a little bit,
you
do have brotherly. That relationship. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, it can affect them.
Yeah.
But yeah, just having someone just say something at that moment is that pivotal time where you're just like, "Ooh, okay." Oh,
isn't that crazy?
It can make such a big difference.
So, okay, so you, how did you get out of this 2 years of chipping away abusive relationship, and what happened next for you?
Oh, it was hard. Like, I tried a couple of times, and it just. For some reason, I just couldn't get away, basically. But I ended up just one moment, like nothing even really happened. Like there were so many reasons where, and so many moments where I could have just been like, this is not okay. It was just one day I just woke up and I remember just thinking, like, my dad hates this guy. And my dad has done so many things that I, you know, didn't agree with and that wasn't, you know, helpful to me. Like, he even told me one day that I would never amount to anything. So for him to not like this person,
wow.
I was just like, geez, like,
yeah,
this must be bad.
Yeah, for my dad who told me I was never going to amount to anything to tell me that my boyfriend is a worthless piece of shit is we've got some problems here. Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Exactly, and I was just like, I was picturing my wedding. I was only in my teens, but I was just picturing this wedding, and I was like, this is you know you want your dad walking you down the aisle to give you away to someone that they respect and stuff like that, and I was just like, this is not that situation. I don't even like this person.
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Yeah. Well, it's settling, isn't it? It's settling for you, especially if you have abandonment issues. If you have someone, you're like, well, maybe this is better than not having someone. And the thought of someone leaving puts all this pressure on you, like, well, I've been abandoned again or I've been left again, and this is all the... But it's just a muddle, isn't it? In your brain, it's a complete muddle because you're doing everything for all the wrong reasons.
That's right. And you're fighting for something or trying to keep something that you don't even want because of something else you don't want.
Yeah.
It's like a balancing act of two things you don't want to be holding.
What a fucking nightmare. So, okay. So you got rid of this guy.
Yeah, got rid of that, and then I was sort of into, like, I sort of still carried the bullying through school and into work. So in my workplaces I was getting bullied as well. And then then I was also taking on people, maybe three or four roles in my job. So when someone would leave, I would just get all of that as well.
Wow.
And I remember getting to a point where I was saying to them, you know, this is a bit much, you know, are you going to hire? Oh, you know, we can't be hiring anyone. And I would go out to my car in my lunch breaks and I would just cry. That would be my lunch.
No way. God, that's just desperate, isn't it? How old are you at this time?
I think I was about 23, something like that.
God, it's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was good at my job, and you know, I worked really hard. But so I had workplace bullying, but then also, you know, the management and things weren't supporting me, and I was just taking on so much. So I would work from home and just take it all with me. I ended up meeting my now husband around that time, maybe a little bit earlier, and he was just the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me. We've been married for nearly 13 years now.
Wow.
But you know, he was through that time just an amazing support. And then on top of that, I developed chronic pain.
Oh.
So I had chronic pain over that time. So I had the bullying, the stress, feeling not good enough, and then also chronic pain on top, and this pain was like the cherry on the top.
Was the pain related to everything that was going on in your brain, do you think, or was there an injury?
Well, it came up at a time where I was overworked, and you know, that crying in my car. I was basically managing claims of workplace injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was taking on the stress of these people that were injured at work.
Wow.
And then also my workplace wasn't great.
Yeah.
All of the bullying and stuff on top, and not feeling worthy of being there and all of these things. And then I think on top, yeah, so basically I just had a lot of stress and a lot of headaches and a lot of pain in my shoulders and things like that. And I went to a chiropractor, and then I got, and that was in my lunch break. Like, I was trying to squeeze it in, and I went back to work, and I was like, well, something's sort of not right. And then from there, I just had this pain. It was excruciating that night, and it never went away. And it was years and years of this pain on top of everything else.
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. I mean, anyone who suffered from any sort of recurring pain or chronic pain, it's horrendous, right? It's just it's horrendous. And it takes over your whole life.
It absolutely does. It's like, and it triggers every negative thing. I was just in this downward spiral. Anxiety, it caused anxiety, depression, overwhelm. I felt like I just couldn't cope. Like everything was too much. Just normal day-to-day life was too much.
What happened? Where did you go? What was this? Was it? Are we here? Are we at the crossroads? Sounds gnarly.
That was sort of the build up, and that sort of festered then for years until it just all of me broke away. From all of those things together.
Yeah.
And it just went. I was trying to help myself, going to every sort of mainstream thing I could find, you know, because I thought that the reasons that I was stressed and overwhelmed was my pain, because I only noticed that stuff when the pain came. I didn't know I was doing all the people pleasing and all of that. I didn't have any confidence. I didn't realize how bad that was. Wow. It was just, this pain is so bad.
Yeah. So when did you think, fuck this, this is going on for too long, something's got to change? Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, by the way, you know, I say this a lot, but we're the lucky ones, because almost every guest who comes on the podcast is here because they have been in a real fucking pickle and they've got out of it, or they're in the process of getting out of it. And of course, there's so many people out there that are in this pit where you were, or half of where you were, or double where you were, or, you know, and what's great about getting these stories out there is people listen to this and they say, God, that's me, or maybe that pain is that, or gosh, actually, now I come to think of it, I'm in a relationship where I'm abused, or how do I get out of this? Or maybe I'm a people pleaser. And it takes action, doesn't it? It takes action to get ourselves, pick ourselves back up, or pick ourselves up and start to make a change. So what happened with your stuff?
It really does. So I kept trying to take avenues, the things that I thought would help, you know, all the mainstream stuff. So I'd like go to the doctor and they'll send me to like pain management or an osteo or a physio or a chiro or whatever. And then I realized, started learning more about mind body. So like your mind affects so much of your body, right?
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, well maybe it's coming from my mind. And I realized I am quite stressed. I can't talk about it with anyone. There is a lot going on. I've had a bad past, you know. I started realizing this stuff. Maybe this is a cause for not being able to have my body relax and hold all this stress. So I just went to psychologists and counselors and therapists and things. But I felt worse. It was like one of the therapists or counselors, I think she was a psychologist, she said, "You're just going to have to accept this."
Oh, no. Nope.
And that was my point.
No, and that was when you were like, nope, not.
I do not accept this. Yeah.
And that's terrible advice that person gave you, by the way. Because we had a guest on who said, I'm thinking of killing myself. And she said that her therapist was like, okay, well, just, you know, maybe that's probably the best, get it over with or something.
I heard that one, Dana. And it's just like, you're in that position with that vulnerable person in front of you.
Yeah. And what you say at that point is make or break. If you're in that profession, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us about your U-turn, your steps to start to feel better. Tell us how that went, what that looked like.
Yeah. So I sort of got to that point where I just knew I wasn't okay. Mm. And I felt like there was no hope for me. And I just came, there's a lady that I had met years and years earlier, and she started a company called the Institute of Women International.
Mm-hmm.
And she was looking for someone to edit some videos of before she worked with women and after. Mm. And I do some video editing and I love it. And I just saw it on her page. I didn't know what she was doing, but right. I was like, oh, I can help you. So I just edited some of these videos, and these women were like, before they were just like complete messes and just falling apart. Yeah. And then afterwards they were just like, oh, I got my shit together. They were happy. And I was like,
wow.
what the hell? These women before are all me, and afterwards, like, they look like they're free of this shit. Like, what the hell is this?
That is, but also that's the universe, isn't it? Like, you took on that editing job not knowing what the content was, and it turns out it was the content that was directly related to what you needed to hear.
Absolutely. It was like all their befores was like it was me talking. I felt like I had all of the things they were talking about, and they were all talking about completely different things. It was like, I'm a culmination of all of these people. What the hell is in the middle of this before and after?
Yeah. That's amazing.
So basically I reached out and I was like, what is this? Mm. And she said, I help women move through their emotional baggage. And I was just like, I feel really stressed because I've got all this pain, right? Because I thought it was all from the baggage.
Yeah.
If I could just sort this pain out, I'd be okay, you know? Yeah. And she said, oh, I can guarantee to fix the mental stuff, but, you know, the pain, I can't guarantee that. So if you think it's coming from the pain, and, you know, I sort of, you know, I can't. Yeah. She didn't say it, but she was like, I can't help you, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, I think I realized at that point, if I could fix my mental shit, then I'm going to be in such a better place, right? You know, then I'm 50-50, you know, half of this stuff is fixed.
Totally.
And I said, you know, can I, you know, even if it is coming from my pain, if I could just not feel so goddamn overwhelmed by it, I could breathe. I felt like I was underwater and I was just getting a breath every so often and just go back down. It's like, if I could just breathe, I would be okay. And she said, look, if you're ready and you want to give this a go, we'll do it, but I can only guarantee the mental side of it. I was like, look, if you can guarantee the mental side of it, I am in, you know, like, where else can do that?
Yeah.
And so we did it, and it was 2 sessions.
That's it?
And I was completely free of all of it.
What? And what sort of stuff did you work through then? Like, how does that work so quickly?
So it's made specifically for women. So all of the other things out there are made just in the general theme that a brain is a brain. Hmm. But women are different, so we need something different. And so she created this, and it's called Creatrix, and it just works on the way our minds work. And it's very simple. You just close your eyes and you go through this basically like a voyage, sort of like a story. It's just full of metaphors that are made for the women's minds, and it makes sense to our subconscious mind.
Wow.
And you work through the, I work through my anxiety, my overwhelm, my not feeling good enough, feeling trapped, and, you know, all of the reasons for why I did and felt the way I did and why I had no confidence, all of those underlying things. And so when those things were no longer an issue, I felt totally capable, totally confident, ready to just go and do my own thing, be my own person, and not worry about what other people think of me anymore.
But that is unbelievable. If you think that you were living with self-doubt from the age of 8, and probably before that, because the age of 8 is only when you realised you were living with self-doubt. So you were probably living with self-doubt since you were 0 years old. And to think that this person found a way in which you could just reassure yourself that you were okay. Sometimes we just need to be told that we're okay, and sometimes we just need reassurance. But
that's, you know, right.
But that's incredible that it works so well. And you were just like, okay, great. I'm glad that's over. What are we doing next then? How's the pain, by the way? How's the pain?
My pain dropped insanely. I was sitting about an 8 or 9 out of 10 most days, and it went to about a 3 or a 4.
Wow.
And I describe it now, you know, I still have it, but it's sort of like before it was driving the car.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in control. And now it's like we're in a bus and it's just sitting up the back somewhere.
Yeah, that's good.
The back seat.
Yeah, we can deal with that sort of pain. That's fine. Wow. Yeah. So you're free and liberated.
Yeah.
And so what do you do now? What's your...
So my whole life just turned around from then, because I realized that I was only living still at that point. Like, I was married at that point. That was about 4 years ago. I was married. We had a house, we had our careers, but I was doing everything by the book, and it was because this is how you're supposed to live, right? Because I had, everyone was telling you, you know, this is the normal. So you have to do the normal things, get a good job, buy a house, get married, do all the things. Then when I had this realization that I can do whatever I like and I didn't care what anyone thought of it, I was like, okay, we only live in this town because this is where we moved to. My mum and dad broke up where our family is and where that's where I met my husband. So that's where he lived, and we bought a house and stuff because we didn't want to live with our parents anymore, but we just bought a house there. And we're like, why do we live where we live? Yes. Why do we even live here?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we just were like, all right, let's, we don't like this place. We wouldn't recommend living here to anyone else. So let's just not be here. So we saved for 18 months.
Wow.
We packed up our house. We packed up our car. We had a patrol. We did it all up. We put a rooftop tent on top of it, and we just left, and we just traveled for 12 months.
Wow. I mean, that, again, that's just so inspiring for it. When you realize that you are the master of your own fate, actually, you know, when what you said is like, wait, why do we live here? And why are we, what is that? What is that? It's like, we, I guess, lack of confidence. And by the way, I'm not saying I've cracked the code here, but I guess lack of confidence and it has an effect on your ability to make kind of positive forward-facing decisions. And I've been riddled with self-doubt all of my life and somehow managed to do quite well out of it, considering like at every turn, I've been like, I don't know. But once you, once you get the confidence to believe in yourself, and also once you get the confidence to realize you are allowed to be happy and you are allowed to make the choices because it's you, it's your life, then you can start to live how you want to live.
That's right. It is your life. And, you know, people can have their say in things, but at a certain point, it is your decision how you live.
Yeah. That's amazing. And so do you work in this world now? Has that happened yet? Have you started training other women how to free themselves?
Yeah, that's right. So as we were traveling, I was just thinking, I actually never thought I could do that. It was about 4 years ago now that I had all of that. But then we were traveling and we got stuck here in this time in COVID, in this town, and we actually love it here. So we bought a house and all of that. And instead of jumping back into a normal full-time job, I was just thinking, what do I actually love? Like what lights me up? What am I passionate about? And I remembered this stuff and just how life-changing it was for me. And I was like, I wonder if this is something I could do, right? Mm. And then I looked into it and I was just like, this is it. This is what I would absolutely love. I would love to help someone feel the way that I feel, to connect with someone that was where I was and bring them to where I am now would be absolutely incredible.
Mm.
So I did, there's a training and a licensing process and things like that to be able to deliver it. So I was just like, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
So I did, and I've been doing it for about a year now.
Wow. I mean, it sounds like you got some good patience as well, because just what you were saying about saving to buy a house for a year and a half and then traveling for 12 months and then training for this, it's like, it does take a bit of work, doesn't it? I mean, that's the other thing, is that I've only just established patience and I'm well into my 40s and nearly into the next decade too. And I've only just realized that I used to be so irrational and just I want to do that. And if I can't have it tomorrow, it's a waste of time and I don't want it anymore. But what I'm realizing now is to set my sights and set my goals and not necessarily set a time frame on them. Just know that the process has begun, and it's a very, that in itself is a very liberating thing, because I was always trying to change the here and now by making kind of crazy, dumb decisions. And now I'm much more assured, I think, and just kind of pretty confident in what the future holds, which is a strange feeling, you know.
That's an amazing feeling. And that's it's that confidence, but it's like a really sort of, it's not an out there confidence. It's just a surety in yourself that, you know, and the more you grow, the more you realize that you are capable and you can do these things. And even if it's not immediate, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Yeah. That's amazing. This whole story has been fantastic. Did we miss anything else? Do you want to add anything else before we wrap up?
I think that's basically it. It's literally just being able to realize that your happiness is worth everything.
Yeah.
And that your life is important, that, like, you know what other people think. I know it's so easy to say, but they're not living your life.
Yeah. You know, I just realized that recently as well. I used to be so concerned about optics and I needed to look happy and I needed to tell everyone I was okay. And then I realized that once I let my guard down and told people I wasn't okay and just showed a bit of vulnerability, all the other people around me that were telling me that they were okay were also not okay. And they were like, God, well, this is easier, isn't it? Just by talking about the fact that we're not okay. And that now we're all okay. And when we're not okay, we tell each other we're not okay. And again, we talked about this many times on the podcast, that it's often the people that outwardly have everything that are the closest to wanting to kill themselves, because it's just, you can never hold yourself up against anybody else because you never know what battle they're fighting.
Absolutely. I think that's everything, isn't it? It's so important. And we all have struggles. We all have things. And if we can't talk about it, and if we feel like we just have to have our shit together and that we have to portray this, everyone else feels like that too. But then it's like you said, on the other side of things, if you can feel like you can express yourself and say, oh my God, things are not going my way. I'm under it right now.
Yeah.
People can feel like, oh my God, I'm under it too.
Yeah.
Like it's, and you know, it doesn't, everyone's trying to, you know, portray that they're fine and, but we're not always fine, and that's okay too.
Totally. 100%. Well, thank you for coming on the show. This has been a wonderful, lovely chat, and we'll make sure that the show notes can direct people to find you, whether it's social media or whether it's a website or your business or whatever, when we go live with the episode. And it's great to speak to someone all the way in somewhere in Australia I've never heard of before.
Thank you so much. It was so wonderful to connect with you as well.
Thanks for coming on the show.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.